Hello.
Hello, Sharon. Hi.
Hi.
This is Kevin with the health department. I was just waiting for I guess Mark.
Yeah, I just spoke up to make sure my audio and my mic was working
Working.
okay.
And I gather mine is too.
Thanks.
Okay, we're all set.
Great. How's your day going?
Well, I actually live in Sacramento, so it's extraordinarily hot still here. It's not quite 100, but it's been in the neighborhood of 110 lately.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Looks like
spicy.
Mark has arrived.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, just getting myself situated here. Okay, hi.
Hi.
Hopefully we'll have more people. Hi, Sharon. Hi,
Good to see you.
picture of Kevin.
Hello. Let's see. I'm trying to get one little project completed before we start here.
Chuck is usually so timely, so
Yes,
surprising.
he is.
I don't see him. Let me see if I've gotten any email saying I can't get into this group or something like that. Do do do. Nope. Okay, well, we'll give it some time, but surprising. This is a committee that usually has, what, a half dozen other people? Right, oh, there's one. Now, Sharon, will you be able, you'll be able to share on your end, right?
Yes, I'll share my screen.
Fantastic. Chuck, I don't have roll call in front of me because Melina is unfortunately out sick today. Do you know offhand who is usually here besides who's here with us now? Yourself, David, Kevin, and Jack? I feel like there's still usually a couple more people.
I can't remember her name. The redhead.
Jesse?
Yeah,
Yeah, Jesse.
Jesse.
Okay, Jesse.
And
With us.
damn, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well. Huh. Bill? Bill usually here? I feel like I've seen Bill at this meeting, but I don't know if he's ready.
If you look at the minutes for last month, you can see names.
Oh, okay. I'll look at that right now, actually. Okay. Chuck, David, Jesse, Bill, he is a member. Jack, Paul, Irma, and Charles. Charles is not a member, though, I don't think. Okay,
No.
so we're missing Paul, Irma, Jesse, and Bill.
That's a lot.
That's a lot for sure. Maybe give it another minute or so before I pull up the agenda to start. Who is facilitating, Chuck? You or David?
I don't care.
Okay.
I can do it.
You then, brother.
It's not like it's difficult.
That's such a maverick comment. It has to be you.
Derek's
Derek, that's
here.
right, our new council member. Excellent.
I wish I looked like the picture that I use.
I don't. You look perfectly fine as is. Who needs those models when we have Derek Mapp?
Right? That's what I keep saying.
Right.
Models. deflating our sense of self.
Hey.
So we are, to catch you up, Derek, we're missing four people. I don't think I've received anything saying I won't be able to make this meeting, so we're giving it like another minute to see if any of those four, Irma, yeah. Jeffy, Bill, and a fourth person will arrive. Paul.
The mysterious fourth person.
The Fourth Man, a great Dutch film from the 80s, queer. If you like queer thrillers involving a malevolent bi lead, I really identified, then I really recommend it. He's a bad man. He gets what's coming to him as well. Paul Verhoeven, one of his early works.
Did you identify more with the malevolence or the bisexuality?
It was really a toss-up, but...
As those two things tend to be.
I was not a right-thinking person when I first watched it in the 80s. So probably, like, I could definitely see myself doing all the horrible things you're doing now.
who couldn't?
Not the Mark of today, though. I would be, if I was to watch that now, I'd feel very sad for him.
Derek, I like your hair.
You know what? I'm getting used to it.
Oh. That's not the same as liking it.
I know it is not. But I really enjoy, I kind of enjoy like just how my hair is doing its thing.
Just let it be free. Let it do its thing.
So, yeah. Well, at some point you don't have a choice in it. It's just going to happen.
I mean, I guess you could always shave your head.
Yeah, that actually has passed by my head a couple of times.
How many more do we need for a quorum?
Well, we don't have quorum, which is unfortunate because we do have a schedule, so maybe we'll be joined. We'll need two more people, I think, to make quorum. Well, no, four miss, oh. Four here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. 9. Okay, well, we'll only need one more person to arrive, so... We will hopefully be able to have quorum when we get to resource allocation. If we don't, if quorum is not established prior to a motion, it comes forward as a recommendation, which just means
right.
that for the next meeting, it'll either come directly from the prior committee as a motion on the floor or as a recommendation from this committee, which someone will have to move and second it. So whichever will be fine. We can proceed, Chuck, if you want to start. I have the agenda.
Let's just take a quick look at the agenda. Anybody have any questions?
Oh, don't forget introductions.
Introductions, there we go. I'm Chuck Adams, one of the co-chairs. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Jackson
Bowman, council member.
David.
David, co-chair of this committee as well. Given it off.
Kevin Hutchcroft, HHS.
And Derek.
I am Derek Mapp, Robert Chanty.
Now we can.
And so you'll still want to have, you'll still want to have Sharon and Thomas introduce themselves as well.
Hi, I'm Sharon.
Oh, I didn't
Sharon.
See them here.
Okay. Hello. I'm Sharon Pipkin. I'm an epidemiologist.
Thank you, Sharon. Hey, Sharon. Good to see you. Hey, my name is Thomas Noble, government co-chair.
A very loud noise coming that I don't know where that is. I might.
Is that me, Mark? Is that a dig at me? Am I a loud noise? Is that how you see me?
No, Thomas. Your voice is lovely. It was another loud, unpleasant sound.
What are you talking about?
It's like plastic.
Yeah, what is that noise?
Now we can look at the agenda.
So one agenda change, please.
Anybody have any, yes.
We'll have to shift item 7-8. John cannot arrive until 4:00. So we'll do resource allocation after Sharon's EPI report presentation. Excuse me.
Okay.
So there's that. We have to wait a few minutes until John and Dean actually do join us at 4, because we tend to go through things fast in this committee. And the second thing is, in advance of Sharon's report, I want to mention that the information in current year's EPI report is embargoed until it's actually seen by the mayor's office. So what you'll be seeing is the structure of the presentation itself. And if you need to reflect on actual data, Sharon also has last year's EPI report that she can call up if she needs to. So that's a slight shift from what you usually see, but we've also seen this before where we've had to review presentations that lack the actual information, but instead had the structure of the presentation, which is of course what you were all reviewing. Jack?
Okay, with Thomas here, we have quorum, right?
We do, but Jack had his hand raised.
Okay.
Do we end, or maybe this is a question for Sharon, but do we anticipate having the report by the full council meeting or by steering or both?
Yes. Yes, it will be available for the full council meeting.
Great. Thank you.
And if Sharon, if you want to send that to me whenever it is available, I could just send that out in advance to everyone.
Oh, great. Perfect. Thanks.
So now we can finally look at the agenda. Anybody see, with the changes made, is there anything else?
Nope. Okay. Stop.
All right. Well, accepted by consensus then. And I already forgot.
Where are the minutes?
Take a look at the minutes.
As you'll see, it was our normal stuff, 1 through 5.
Go lay down.
The committee reviewed a report from the pop-up clinic at General Hospital, and then did resource allocation, and looked at the work plan again. This was, of course, 2 months ago, because the committee did not meet last month. There we have it.
Any changes?
Right. I'll stop share.
All right. We'll accept that by consensus then. So the next item is, what's the next item on the agenda?
Announcements. Announcements.
Announcements. Anybody have an announcement? Well, go ahead, Mark.
You should be getting this week your prioritization sheets. If you recall, we've done this every year since the merger, and prior to that at the Care Council, you will order the core services and support service categories in the order that you see is a priority. I'm going to be doing this via SurveyMonkey because they have a nice tool where you can just kind of rearrange that. But I'll also be sending along a little handy guide that Ali put together that describes each service category in case you just need to have that spelled out. And we'll be putting all that together to get the group average by the time of the summit at the end of the month. Any questions on those service prioritization sheets, I guess, that you'll be getting, not sheets, survey you'll be getting from SurveyMonkey? Pretty standard, you've all done them before. Maybe not you, Derek, but
yeah.
it'll be standard to you. You'll see, it's so basic.
Were you raising your hand, Derek?
Sorry, I was just saying that I remember it from years ago. Is this similar to the 10% reduction protocol? Sorry,
I'm muted. Actually, it might be new to you because this was done on the care side for a while, and it really is just a list of the Ryan White Part A service categories and then divided into core and support. And then you create two of your own lists based on what you think are the priorities. So it might be new, but it should still be pretty straightforward. And just call me, email me if you need any support around that. I'll be happy to provide. You probably are familiar with all of the support service categories as a service provider yourself. But if you're not, even though there's definitions there and want to know more about them, call me or email me as well. I'll be happy to walk you through it. There's usually more of a process around this in our orientation training. But of course, we haven't had an orientation training yet for you because you're so fresh.
Finally.
Any other announcements? Yeah. All right. What's after announcements, Mark?
public comment, and then we go to Sharon.
Okay. Any public comment? I guess that would be you, Sharon. If not, then we're ready for Epi.
Chuck, is it okay to comment on Mark's shirt?
Sure, really quick.
This is not a shirt. This is a jacket. It's a jogger, actually. I put this on to clothe myself for Zoom meetings.
The lovely blouse.
Not a blouse.
Not a blouse.
Why not a blouse?
There's all kinds of things wrong with that statement.
What's wrong with the blouse?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a blouse. I don't judge blouses, but I don't have them. I do have this jogger set. I'm sure you've heard of that phrase.
Yeah. Do the pants match the top?
Yes and no. They match this, but not this. Black plus this trim.
Yeah, well, we're gonna need a full.
I should actually show you the back of this, which is two leopards together.
A catwalk.
Nose please. To nose.
Where did this come from?
From a online store called Dude's Boutique.
Put myself back on mute.
I'm Googling it now.
All right. Now we're ready for Sharon. So you can take it up from there, Sharon.
Thanks, Chuck. Hi, everyone. Thanks to the Council Affairs Committee for inviting me today to give you a preview of the 2019 HIV Epi Annual Report. As Mark spoke of earlier, the report data is embargoed for a few more days, and the full committee, the Council Affairs Committee and the full council will see the data very shortly after the embargo is lifted. So today I'm going to just give you it's kind of like the template of what the presentation will look like, and I'm here to collect feedback from you on what you think is most important for the full council to see and discuss. And I'll just go ahead and launch into that. I do want to say ahead of time, I'm in a place where there's a train that runs right by. So if there's moments of silence, I'm just muting myself so that train can roar on by. So thank you for bearing with me. Okay, I'm gonna share my screen now. Let's see. Okay, and hopefully you can see, again, this is the slide outline. And quickly, the talk will be similar to last year's talk. And we'll begin by talking about new diagnosis trends that we're seeing in San Francisco. That will be followed by data on the HIV care continuum, on new diagnoses, what we're seeing in terms of linkage to care within, you know, 1 month, retention in care, and also viral suppression at 12 months after diagnosis. We'll talk about some key indicators that we frequently look at to gauge the epidemic, such as mortality, survival time after stage 3. And then we'll have a section where we talk about health disparities between not just racial ethnic subgroups, but also other subgroups that have historically experienced worse outcomes in the epidemic. And then lastly, what I thought might be interesting would be a section on homeless persons living with HIV, because we are seeing that the epidemic among homeless persons is not declining, and it might be stabilizing, but there's still a lot of homeless persons impacted by HIV. So I thought that might be interesting to have a section that looks at that a little closer. So in terms of new diagnoses, we have a couple of slides. This first one is going to be a figure that looks at trends between 2006 and 2019. Sorry about that. And the trends are going to show new diagnoses, deaths, and prevalence, which is the number of persons living with HIV. We're going to move from there to looking at diagnosis trends among by transmission category. So first, we're going to look at the trends among men in San Francisco during the last decade. And that's going to be followed by trends for women by transmission category. After we look at the data by transmission category, we'll look at it by race ethnicity. So here we'll be looking at new diagnosis trends for whites, Black African Americans, Latinx persons, and Asian Pacific Islanders. We'll also look at some data on new diagnoses, looking at what percentage of new diagnoses that each racial ethnic group makes up for diagnosis each year. And that's going to be from 2015 to 2019. After that, we're going to look at some rates of new diagnoses. So here we take the denominator of the population of each racial ethnic group, and we calculate the rates first for men over the last decade. And then I'll show another slide. This comes from figure 2.3 of the trends in rates of new diagnoses among women over the last decade. And again, this is by race, ethnicity. At that point, we'll kind of pause and just collectively, you know, kind of think and summarize what all of that trend data is telling us in terms of new diagnoses. Are they, you know, going up, down, stabilizing? Also number of deaths, the trends there, and then talk about, you know, what are new diagnoses looking at for different racial ethnic groups and transmission categories, and also by men and women. So the second section of the presentation looks at the care continuum, and you've all seen this, you know, many years in a row. It comes from figure 3.1, and this is where we look at the care cascade, where, you know, we have people who are diagnosed, and then we look at what proportion of those people then become linked to care, retained in care, and then finally virally suppressed within 12 months of their diagnosis. So we'll look at the trends for 2015 and diagnoses all the way to 2019, although we don't have viral suppression data yet for 2019 diagnoses. Next, we'll look at some time to care indicators. So this is data from table 3.1, where we look at, well, how quickly are people getting linked to care? How quickly are people getting on ART after diagnoses? And we're going to measure that in terms of the median number of days that it takes people to reach those outcomes. And here again, this is this figure is going to be new. Compared to last year's report, we're going to give you that information in terms of median time from HIV diagnosis to viral suppression. And we're going to have four panels looking at, you know, the overall time and also break that down by race, ethnicity, transmission category, and housing status. And we'll look at the trends of, like, is the median time from diagnosis to viral suppression, you know, going up, down over time from 2015 to 2018. This next slide is also going to be new compared to last year's presentation. Mark had mentioned that the council was interested in seeing more data that looked at disparities. And so we wanted to include some data this year showing you what mortality rates were like among adults. So this is going to show you mortality rates by sex and race ethnicity. And you'll see comparisons between white, Black, and Latinx persons. We have a couple of figures after that that talk about underlying causes of death. You know, the council is interested in keeping track of what causes of death people with HIV are dying of. And so we'll look at comparisons over the three time periods, and we'll look at the top four underlying causes of death. And this can be found in section 5, table 5.3 from the report. And then we'll also look at among people where the underlying cause of death was HIV, we'll look at by race ethnicity, Latinx persons, Blacks, and whites, and look at the percent of each of those ethnic groups and, you know, how did they compare in terms of what proportion of those persons died due to HIV. Continuing on in health disparities, we're going to look at the PrEP cascade. So this cascade is a little bit different from the care continuum in that we are looking at clients that are served by selected community-based organizations in our city between 2016 and 2019. And we're going to look at among people that these organizations screened, how many clients, you know, scheduled appointments, and then initiated PrEP and then stayed on PrEP. And we are, you know, particularly interested in several subgroups. So we'll make comparisons between white, Black, Latino MSM, as well as trans women and young MSM who are younger than 25 years old. We'll also, in terms of PrEP and how well the city is doing in terms of delivering PrEP, we'll look at some data from San Francisco City Clinic. This will be data from 2014 to 2019. And it's going to show the proportion of PrEP eligible MSM that are currently on PrEP. And we'll look at data, trend data for Blacks, white, Latinos, and API MSM. This slide, the figure of 3-year survival, this is also something that we included last year. So this is an indicator that looks at survival after persons who have been diagnosed with stage 3. What proportion of people are still surviving 3 years after their diagnosis. And we'll look at some disparities by race, ethnicity, transmission category, and gender. And this can be found in figure 4.5 in the report. We'll then look at figure 6.1, which is some information about health insurance status at the time of diagnosis. This is shown by race, ethnicity, gender, and the year of HIV diagnosis. So we'll look at the percent of persons in each subgroup with any insurance, no insurance, or who are missing insurance info at diagnosis. Continuing on with health disparities, we'll show the viral suppression information among persons living with HIV at the end of 2019. So we'll look at the percent of viral suppression among all living cases. And we'll also look at the percent of viral suppression among people who had at least one lab test in 2019. And then we're going to just show that data a little bit differently. We're going to graph that data for you, data from table 3.3. And we're going to highlight, hold on 1 second here. We're going to graph that data from table 3.3 and highlight the subgroups with virus suppression rates that are lower than the overall rate. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, because homeless persons in our city continue to be impacted severely, we are going to present a couple of slides that look at homeless persons. This is from figure 14.1 in the report, and it shows the figure, the number and the percent of homeless at time of diagnosis over the last decade. And so we'll show some trends that are important to detect and might be important to take action on. This next table is going to be a table comparing homeless persons with non-homeless persons diagnosed with HIV in the last decade. And here you'll be able to see some differences and by other demographic categories such as gender, race, ethnicity, age. I think this might be the last slide. We're going to show a table of persons living with HIV who are homeless or living in SROs. And this is going to be information from table 14.2. It's going to be a little bit different from last year's report because we're comparing the group which experienced homelessness or lived in an SRO in 2019. We're going to compare that to a group of persons living with HIV who did not experience homelessness or live in SROs in 2019. And you'll be able to see some differences in those demographics. Lastly, we'll kind of wrap up all of these trends and subgroups, talking about, we'll try to highlight subgroups that were more impacted, which, showed worse indicators in care or PrEP access, PrEP uptake. And then by that time, the report will be published, and we'll just remind folks where they can see the report and where they can find the link to share the report with others in the community. So that is briefly what the presentation is going to look like. I'd love to hear any thoughts, feedback you have about what you think the full council would like to see more of, what you like to drop, et cetera.
Thanks for this, Sharon. It was a great presentation in for what we could see. I guess my question is more for Mark. Although now that I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, is it really a question? I guess my experience has been sometimes with data presentations that sometimes when we go through them, the suggestions we have is like, oh, this way that this is framed might not be clear, or can we get this comparison in addition to this comparison or something like that? And it's a little bit hard to do that. I mean, obviously, because we can't see the data. So I guess I'm just wondering if there's going to be a process in steering for people to do that, or do you feel like, Mark, if we approve it, it's basically going to be like steering's going to feel like, oh, they saw it, it must be great, and then they're going to approve it too, or what do you think is the what is the best way to move forward?
That's interesting. There is certainly time on the agenda for this to be reviewed, on the steering agenda for this to be reviewed with the data. Steering is not meeting for another 2 weeks, the Thursday prior to the meeting, so the embargo should certainly be lifted by then. I haven't talked with Sharon about actually going to that meeting, but it could be presented with or without her, of course. They can go through it or not. However, that's only one option. The other option is that once this is available, I can send it out to this group, and you all can also email Sharon your thoughts and suggestions about certain slides. Both of those are fine. It doesn't even have to be and or. you have those kinds of conversations because they don't involve a vote or motions around money or anything like that. So it's fine that sent out in the committee itself dialogues back to Sharon offline, not offline, but via email. So whatever the group wants to do, if you want it to appear on the steering agenda, that's fine. If you want it to go out and you all review and send your updates and thoughts to Sharon or to me to send on to Sharon, whichever, that's fine. If you want to do both, that's fine. What do you all want to do?
Can I ask another question?
Okay.
I don't know if this is feasible or reasonable or not, but I guess I'm also wondering if it wouldn't make sense to put this presentation in a different month when we do have the data and we can look at it in this meeting prior. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and if that's the more reasonable way to move forward is for us to either give feedback in between the meetings or for steering to give the feedback or I don't know what, then that's how then we'll do that. I'm a little limited to working on this during this time opposed to during other work time. So that's kind of my hesitation.
Absolutely, but let me explain something on the resource allocation end. So I guess on the white part.
The summit.
Yeah, the reason why we receive this is that it is supposed to inform your decision making and company. Okay. He gets it. And especially because we can't actually get the Aries report. Like, we have to have some quantitative data set prior to that vote. It's just how it has to be done.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot about this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's times why we've had to rearrange the date of the summit, because we need to have some data sets before we even vote. So when Epi or when Aries, when neither have been available, we've had to shift for them. But we have at least one, so we gotta move forward with Epi, if not Aries. So I guess that said, what does the group feel? Do you want to do one or the other or both of those options as far as looking at the actual data?
I think do both.
Okay, then I'll check if she's available on that Thursday. It would be the fourth Thursday of the month, at somewhere between 3 and 4:30. And if you're not, like I said, the committee can also review. I don't want to put pressure on you, Sharon, because this is kind of last minute. And then we'll figure it out. And then when I get it from Sharon, I'll also send it out to this group.
And you said fourth Thursday at 3?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'll...
Steering is not the third Thursday this month. It's been pushed forward so that it can happen right before the summit, which is actually on the... Because of the, you know, every month is unique. And so once I send it out to you all, actually, why don't you email me any feedback you have for Sharon so I could then just collate it into an email that I'll send to Sharon. And I might even just bring any feedback from you to Steering to inform that discussion as well.
We can go to Steering, right?
Anyone can go to any committee meeting besides outside of PLWH advocacy group.
And we can give feedback during the meeting or we can only observe?
You can give feedback, you can vote. Any besides PLWH advocacy group, you are a full council member at any committee or work group that you choose to attend.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll reach out to you, Mark, and see if I can get a link to that Thursday meeting.
Oh yeah, it'll be actually in the RSVP that Melina will be sending out to the full council.
Oh, that's right. We get them all. Okay, yeah. Great.
But then keep in mind, though, it's different this month. It's not the third Thursday. It's the fourth Thursday. While still remaining the fourth Monday following. So strange. Okay, whatever. Let's not think too hard on that.
Any other questions?
Looks like David Gonzalez raised his hand.
Yeah, I did. So my question is for Sharon. So on one of the slides, I did not get the slide number, I apologize. You were gonna look at sort of like the median of diagnosis of going from diagnosis to depression. You were gonna try to do like a median sort of demonstration of that on the graph. My question to you, and I guess I should wait until I actually see the graph, but I think one of my questions is, I feel like everyone participating in this meeting right now has experience with sort of graphs and numbers, and I want to make sure that some of that material is digestible for people that don't live in numbers like we do. So I think my question is, will there be like a sentence or two about how to really read median sort of graphs, or just what the numbers sort of mean? And then, and just being prepared for people to ask the question of what that means. Cause I've been a part of some meetings where people just sort of don't understand that concept of medians. And so it becomes like, oh, this is what this means. And it's really just like, this is what a median is. This is what we're looking at, you know? So just, it's a question, but also just, I think, a note for you as well, that those questions may come up, just because, you know, not everyone is well-versed in sort of the, some of the finer points of statistics.
Yeah, thanks for your comment, David. I appreciate that, and we'll definitely take time to explain some of these measurements and why they're important or why they're made the way they are. And I do recall last year, another council member, it might have been you, who also reminded me, you know, to take a little time to explain rates and, you know, why do we care if it's a rate or a number. So yeah, we'll definitely include some, you know, explanations so that it can be consumable by a diverse audience. Yeah. And I appreciate any other tips you might have for me.
Thank you.
Just so that you know, we'll be giving a little bit, we give a little bit more time to the presentations that appear at the summit. So you'll be able to have a full half hour for the presentation and then an additional 10 to even 15 minutes for Q&A.
Okay.
So please do save questions for the end. Hopefully the facilitators will also make sure that happens. So a little bit longer than the usual 20 minutes we give most presentations. Hopefully half an hour will be enough. It should be. Does that work for you?
Yeah, and that, and just to confirm, the summit is the meeting on the September 28th.
Yeah, let me just double check that date, but yes, that sounds correct.
Okay.
Can I throw in a...
Yeah, the 28th, and I just realized I'll be facilitating that meeting, so I will, of course, make sure that questions come at the end. Almost try to sell out the co-chairs there. Oops. Sorry,
Hi, Thomas.
Selling out the co-chairs? I feel like two things. One is like a line of when COVID kind of hit, for lack of a better word, if there's a marker of like the HIV testing data, definitely, I think would be really relevant. And then maybe just a precursor to, like, we really don't have information about morbidity, or people will ask it. So I think if you want to get ahead of that before it's asked, just saying, you know, we won't have a sense of comorbidity issues maybe for another 12 months. But we do know that obviously testing and access to care did shift because of COVID in a big way. Mm-hmm. What that looks like, we're not quite sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We were wondering if the council might want to hear a little bit about how the pandemic is impacting surveillance and the HIV epidemic in the city. So for instance, the Health Commission is getting some data this month on lab testing and how that's been impacted. It'll show like how care patterns are shifting among persons living with HIV and how they're accessing care for HIV services. So yeah, if the council would like to hear some of that, I could definitely insert it into the presentation.
Kevin.
I particularly would be interested in that. Was it Dr. Cohen's presentation that revealed the racial and ethnic disparity in people's return to care, while Caucasians are moving rather quickly back into the systems? And there are a couple of potential marketing campaigns that might be directed to that. So anything along those lines, I think, would be very helpful. And useful for these people that are interested in social marketing behind it.
Yeah, that's a great point, that it could be impacted by, you know, differences in facility outreach, you know, and also certainly health insurance status. So yeah, those are good ideas to look at. In terms of comorbidity data, I want to go back to what Thomas was saying, because the report kind of cuts off at December 2019, so it won't have any comorbidity data with COVID. And so we probably will not have a lot of comorbidity data to show. Rather, we'll have kind of care data to show. So I just wanted to say we will not have a ton of comorbidity data available, but we will have some data on care patterns and lab testing.
Any other questions? And we'll say hey, thanks.
Yes, thank you, Sharon. I'll get in touch with you about your availability on that date, as well as release of the data set with data.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Thank you all. Good seeing you.
Stay well.
Thank you.
Now we have 15 minutes to wait.
Okay, so we can do resource allocation now. Let's get that.
Okay.
It might not be the full 15 minutes, but we'll see. Let me share screen. Okay, so this is a motion that's on the floor from committee. It's coming from community engagement. And these are the motions regarding increased funding, flat funding, and decreased funding. So we have to do each separately. And of course, they will all involve roll call votes. Again, this is coming from committee, so they do not need to be moved or seconded, but they can be adjusted as you see fit as council members. For the increased funding, the motion reads as, if increased funding occurs, the council will reconvene to discuss this scenario. This, of course, is a very unlikely scenario, but it has happened in the past. Any discussion or questions about the increased funding scenario? Okay, bear with me, because this involves money, I do have to do a roll call vote for each one of these. Motion on the floor, Jack Bowman.
Yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
David Gonzalez.
Yes.
Derek Mapp.
Yes.
Kevin Hutchcroft and Thomas Noble.
Yes.
So cute. Okay, flat funding. This, of course, statistically speaking, has the least chance of ever happening in our lifetime, since it would have to be the exact dollar amount. However, a scenario does need to be developed. For flat funding, the motion as reads is, if funding remains at the current level, service category resource allocation will remain level across all categories. Pretty straightforward motion. Any discussion or questions? Okay, we'll get right through this. Kevin and Thomas.
Yes.
Derek.
I don't know why I have some questions about it, but they're not really fully formed in my head. So I'll just go ahead and say yes, because otherwise.
David.
Yes.
Chuck.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
All right, just to our third scenario and the most likely, decreased funding. I'll read it first before explaining. In the event of decreased funding for the first 10% of reductions, allocation for services that are covered under California's Essential Health Benefits Package will be reduced proportionally. If further reduced allocation is required, reductions will occur proportionally across all service categories. Of course, most of you are familiar with this motion. It's been the motion that has been approved in the last, I think, 2 years. There's actually a longer tradition as well. So the logic behind this is that because the services that are covered under our state essential health benefits package have other funding sources that others that are not covered under that that could support them in case of a cut. The logic is that they will take the first 10%. Now, those services are ones that are medically related, and thus they have that ability to attain funding from other sources. If the cut is over 10%, of course, this scenario allocates that proportionally across all service categories. That said, if a cut as potentially devastating as one being over 10% or even say over 15% does occur, the council will reconvene to discuss further. This is in many ways a placeholder in case that does happen. Any questions about the motion or what I just said? Yes, Jack.
Would it make sense to include language that says that if the cut is over 10%, we reconvene, similar to the language for the increased funding?
It would not hurt. Okay. I don't think that needs to be moved as an amendment because it's clarifying what was already understood when the motion was conceived. So let me see if I can just add that. And you tell me if I should change the language. If would you like it to be 10% or 15%? Is there a particular percentage you'd like?
I mean, I think because it says 10, that probably makes sense.
I think I would say 15%. I mean, it's not up to me to say, if only because what you'll be seeing at the summit shows a break. Dean usually shows a breakdown of 5%, 10%, and 15%. Does that make sense? So you'll be able to vote on something that looks like if it's under that 10%, if it's at 10%, and if it's over. So you'll actually already be armed with that, and the council might not reconvene if it's under 15% because you will already have seen what that would look like. However, since you wouldn't have seen what's over 15%, then you should reconvene to actually see those numbers. Does that make sense? Why
15%? Yes. Might, so I guess then I'm wondering if the... So is the, I guess I'm trying to get to like not having there be like implications, but having there be like language. So is what you're saying that there's scenarios for 5%, 10%, 15%. You're saying that if it's up to 10%, then it goes like this, but anything over 10% is when we reconvene.
Anything over 10, we can reconvene it. First of all, to make clear, we can reconvene at any point whatsoever. There's no automatic reconvening, except if it goes over 15%. That will be automatic because the scenarios that Dean shares don't include over 15%. The council would have to do its due diligence to see if those numbers are ones that they're comfortable with. However, it would not automatically be reconvened if there is a cut of between 10 and what Dean shows us, which is usually 15%, because the council has seen those numbers before. However, if the council did still want to, the council can. I mean, it's actually a part of the council life cycle, which is called reallocation. So that can always happen no matter what. But by putting 15% there, you're actually staying in alignment with the numbers that you will be seeing at the summit.
Okay.
It will fit.
That sounds fine. So, I would say for reduction over 15%.
And even though this is what he usually does, Kevin, can you just, I guess, double check to make sure that's what Dean does since this number is right here in the motion? Okay, because this is a clarifying thing, I don't think it needs to be voted on as an amendment if it doesn't change anything. Any further discussion or questions or changes? Okay, seeing none, for the motion on the floor, Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Thomas and Kevin.
Yes.
Derek.
Yes, and just for clarification, your explanation to Jackson in regards to reallocation also helped me out with the unformed questions I had about flat funding.
Okay. I think then that means I should probably be mentioning this at the full summit as well, so that everyone's on the same page. Jack?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Okay, Carries. I mean, I guess that means I'm going to stop share and we are on break for 8 minutes.
Eight minutes or until they show up, whatever comes first.
Yeah, I will reflect this break by doing this.
Great.
Is it going to be music?
Should I play music?
Don't encourage him, Derek.
Oh my God. Derek, what a fine idea.
We're going to get the soundtrack to that tracksuit.
Open. Oh my God, even better. Jack, wow, between the two of you, you have really made this.
I am currently on dudesboutique.com, and there is some pretty
amazing is the word you're looking
for. Is it like international mail?
Oh, my no. God. Yeah, there is a definite through line from international mail to Dude's Boutique. They're very different, but they both involve a lot of flash. International mail, of course, is all about form fitting. That's not a good look for me.
Dude's Boutique. You know, maybe we should be the judge of that, Mark.
Oh, well.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Are there tops that have pirate lacing at the top?
Of course there are.
Yeah.
Silly question.
You said Dude's Boutique?
Boutique.
This is amazing. This is...
It says leather goods store.
Oh.
They have an actual location.
God damn it.
My thoughts exactly, Kevin.
Oh, I think I'm going to clean up my browser history.
Oh, I see your jogger set. It's like
I hope you zoom in to the leopards nuzzling each other. It's why I bought it.
Do they all include the leopards or just the one you got?
Oh, no. The one that I have has a leopard theme. Maybe I got the last one.
Because there are several tracksuits. Several. Oh, cheetah, I see.
Cheetah, yes. So you should zoom in on the cheetah. Back because it's magical. Maybe you should even share screen.
Yeah. You know, I don't have to really zoom in because it's very large. Well, let's see what happens when I try to share my... Can I do it if I'm not a host?
That is a lot of fist-pumping GTL scenarios going on with that tracksuit.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. That's why I bought it.
You know what? You know what they should have done that would have been great is down here where these rings are like connected to each other, like Olympic rings. They should have made them male symbols.
Oh, gay it up! Well, yeah. I'm not against that.
Gay it up more than it's already.
Is that possible?
I feel like that shirt says like.
Not a shirt. Not a shirt or a blouse. Come on now.
Trying to draw your eye away from something else is what I feel like it's doing. I'm not sure what that would be.
Pay no attention to the man beneath this tracksuit.
Just look at the tracksuit.
Or the waistline or the hairline or whatever.
Exactly.
I want to know, how do you wake up in the morning and decide today is the day for the tracksuit? That's what I want to know.
Like, during quarantine, I decide that by saying I need to have clothes on for this Zoom meeting. So I'm going to put this on right now. That's literally why I wear this these days. So sad, but true.
David, I think it's I can't go outside in this, so I might as well wear it now.
Oh, you don't think I'll go outside in this? You think incorrectly.
I call those walking the dog outfits. And
there we go.
And I actually went camping a few weeks ago. Actually, scenario, went camping. The next day, the fires broke out in Santa Cruz Mountains, and we had to evacuate. But anyways, so I wore my, you know, my walking the dog outfits to go camping. Everyone's like, so we know you used to work with like homeless youth, but why are you still dressed like one? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, no. Everything has so many holes in it. in your crotch, in the armpit of all, these are my camping outfit. They're like, no, dude, no. No. I'm like, damn it.
Thomas, don't you have like relaxing, comfy, around the house type wear that you also still want to look good in a not so also like actually truly looking good kind of way?
Basketball shorts is the best I do.
That's disappointing, especially from what you rock in public. You know, you're very fashion conscious. I've noticed that about you, Thomas.
Oh, I have a look. I have a uniform.
The matching. I don't know. You add flair. You clearly match it up a little bit. You mix and match. So that's why I am profoundly disappointed that you don't actually carry that in your home base as well. I mean, you have a partner. Don't you want to stay pretty for them?
Jack shaking.
Let me tell you something. This website, first of all, it calls out cowboy boots specifically. Like, there's a whole section of the types of clothing that you could possibly purchase for them. Cowboy boots, it's not in the shoes section. It's in the own section. I want to point that out. Second of all, it has a whole section that just says bottoms, which seems kind of on the nose for people that might be trying to dress themselves from this website. But, you know, also furs.
It loves fur. It also loves just animal skin shoes as well.
And okay, some of these are expensive. They have a hat on here for $450.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is not a cheap boutique. No boutique should ever be cheap. It shouldn't be called a boutique.
Okay, Mark, is everybody here?
No. How dare you be impatient with our shallow talk, Chuck?
I'm very impatient.
How dare you? I'm still waiting to see a John Ainsley. Oh, is that John?
Hi, Mark. I'm here. Yep.
I think the call in.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, I called in. I don't have Zoom, so I'm doing the call in method.
Oh, okay. Should I be sharing screen then for this presentation?
Oh, that's a good question. Did Dean send everything out to you that's necessary?
Yeah, unless Dean wants to share a screen. Or do you have that? No, that looks like a no.
He doesn't want to.
A strong no. Okay, let me.
No, I'm on a Mac, and I've had issues uploading documents to share. I need to figure out why that's happening. So okay. Sorry.
Let me find the doc. It's I put it on my desktop.
Okay, so we can get this going.
Sorry about that, Mark. I should have let you know.
It's no worries. I have it very close by. Okay. Got it. Let me share screen now. Sharing screen.
Thank you, Mark.
No worries.
It's good to see everyone.
Do you all see it?
There we go.
Yes. Yeah, we see it, Mark.
Okay.
Okay, John, go ahead.
So can you see the screen, John, or should I be telling you when I move? Like, how should we do this? Because this is a very long, obviously we're not doing a slide by slide because it's 69 pages. So what?
Yeah, we won't be going through all of it. No, I was just going to go through the beginning part and then go through one of the service categories just so people can have a general idea. So okay. It's going to be repetitive throughout the entire document. I think I can walk people through it. I know it pretty well at this point, even though I am on my phone.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay. So I will say as a heads up, as I just told you a minute ago, I am on my phone. So if anyone has a question or raises their hand or does some sort of Zoom thing to highlight that they have a question, I will not see it. So Mark, maybe you can
I'll let you know. Don't worry.
There.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah, just interrupt me and let me know. And yeah, so I should start by saying that last year we made a lot of changes to this, to the formatting of this document. It was previously very text heavy and very dense. And we wanted to make it more visual and easier to take in. And I should say also, this is from last year. I'll be updating it with new data over the next few weeks before the 28th. So this is last year's. But I don't see any formatting changing very much. It'll be the same thing, just the numbers will shift. So every member of the Planning Council will receive a copy of this once it's finished. But what I think we'll be presenting at the retreat will be a condensed presentation highlighting specific categories, some major changes, trends. It would just take a long time to go through, like you said, Mark, 65 pages of this. So we're going to be paring it down for the sake of time, but the information will be available for those who do want to do a deeper dive. So as you go through this, if there are specific areas of interest, please do let me know, and we'll include it. So to start, on page 3, if you want to scroll down there, that has the service category order that the Planning Council chooses every year. It starts with core services and followed by support. The order the council chooses is also the order the services come within these summary sheets as well. And as you scroll down a bit further to page 5, that's where we present budget information. It's all the funding the HHS receives from Part A, Part B, general fund, getting to zero, MAI, supplemental funding, all of it. So that gives you a good snapshot of where we're at budgetarily wise. And also has the amounts and the percentage of the total funding. The following pages split out the budget by service category, first core and then support. Once again, this will change somewhat between now and the 28th as the data gets uploaded. Following the budget is demographic information, which is starting on page 9. We'll be reporting to you all on age, housing status, federal poverty level, insurance status, viral suppression, race, ethnicity, and gender. And for most of these demographics, we selected one data point and showed a trend over time. For example, if you look on page 11, where we report on housing status, we report for that year, but we also went back 9 years to show the increase in the temporary unstably housed individuals in our system of care. It's been increasing over the past 9 years. So what we'll try to be doing is try to show something that might be important to highlight to you all, as well as something that might jump out to us, a trend or something unusual. And once again, if there's anything of specific interest, please do let us know, and I can try and pull as much as I can before the 28th.
Let me pause you right there, John. I have a question from Jack.
Sure. Mark, can you scroll back up to the age section?
Sure thing.
So is this, I see. So the bottom graph is just showing people over the age of 45, but the top pie is showing everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
So let me look at this real quick. So age, I just tried to show that, since 2010, the number of people within our system of care of aging has been increasing.
Okay, great.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Derek, you had a question? Eric, you're muted.
Oh, yeah. Eric, thanks for that. It just took me a quick question. Thanks for bringing that up, Jack. It sort of hits where my question as well, and that is around, I know that there's been increasing interest and pressure around looking at age, particularly those over the age of 50, and the sort of budgeting, the literal, what's the allocation of budget that hits that population as it is growing. And I don't know if that's at all possible to do, but I know that there is definitely growing interest in that area. Is that possible at all?
So the amount of money that is allocated around age groups?
Yes, particularly around the 50, 60 and older group. And not so, and I have a feeling that while there is a lot of interest in sort of specific allocation, like what sort of programming and not sort of programming, but what sort of allocation, financial allocation is allotted that population, considering its percentage amount, but looking at literally of this amount of money, all of these sort of all of this also include folks that are over the age of 50, and they represent this amount of the budget. I don't know if I'm making sense in that.
I don't know how, certainly HHS can speak on that more than I can, but, I wonder if your question is coming from your past experience on the Prevention Council, because, the BRP style of funding allocation is not the CARE style. So we don't usually see amount of money spent on what would be the BRPs on the prevention side. But that said, let me step out of the way and have Dean or John respond.
If I could just to clarify a bit maybe your request, Eric. John, I think the breakout that might help focus what Derek is suggesting is what we, this is the breakout of the ages as is just the general age breakout from Aries. There's a different report that Flor Maria ran for last year and previous year's Aries presentation where they break it out 50 to 55, 55 to 60 and 65 and above, changing these last two groups. So maybe there's a way to do that. But as far as the funding per age, it's really, it would be a Herculean effort because what we'd have to do is break out every program and the amount of funding they spent and then what the demographic of that, the age demographic of that population is, just sort of what we do for the Wiki report, the Women, Infant, Children, and Youth report that we have to do for HRSA for reporting on. But what, you know, a general breakout of the age applied to our overall budget would give you a pretty rough estimate of how much funding is going toward that, those later age breakouts. Hopefully if we break that out, you'll be able to see that a little bit more clearly. John, let's talk to Flor Marie and see if that's something we can do for this breakout. And then also just a disclaimer for the demographics in general for this year's service summary report. You know, last year we rolled out Epic. Epic is the new electronic medical record that the DPH is using. In the past years, all the data that was in for the DPH primary care clinics and the SF general clinics, so for Tom Waddell and Castro Mission Health Center, and for everything at Ward 86, all three other COEs in the broader Ward 86 and FAST, and all of those have been importing into Aries. But that import function is still being sorted out. It has not yet occurred, so we won't have any of that data. So just know that those clients might be in here if they engaged in care somewhere else and have been captured, but you're gonna see a drop in the numbers and the demographics might look pretty different if you compare it to previous years. Just a heads up on that.
Thanks a lot, Dean. I realized that I was asking for something that isn't usually done, and it was coming from a lot of pressure that's been growing around HIV and aging advocates in the city.
No worries. And hopefully with the demographics, you'll see the number that are being served with the funding in total that we have.
All right.
Okay, any other questions?
Just no more right now.
Okay. So let's scroll down a little bit further down to page 18. And that's where you'll see, excuse me for 1 second. That's where you'll see the general outline for what we'll be doing for each service category. So each service category will have like the priority number, the ones that you select, the HRSA name of the service category, and a description of the service. And below that will be a bullet point for each provider of that service, the geographic location, the target population, anything really that sticks out or makes that program unique compared to the others. And just below that, you'll see a map with the location of where the services are provided, all within San Francisco. That's actually a good point to make right now. Unlike previous years, last year we omitted San Mateo and Marin counties. If I remember correctly, actually, Dean, do you mind chiming in there? I have a general idea, but I don't want to misspeak or cause any confusion. So you could clarify why we excluded San Mateo and Marin, I'd appreciate it.
I think because they do their own sort of review and microcosm of services and populations in their own county, and with San Francisco being 86-87% of the population, you know, our data and demographics just sort of dwarf all that. If we were to pop all three counties out separately, then this budget would go from, this document would go from 60 pages to, you know, 180. So
yeah,
we focus, I mean, beyond
that
as
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beyond that as well, the council is not voting on San Mateo or Marin. And so this information is much like the quantitative information via EPI and ARIES. This is supposed to be in service of the decision making around resource allocation specifically for the city of San Francisco. When we get the county partner presentations in October, they do a version of this, not as in depth, but they do a breakout of how much money is going to each service category.
Yeah. Even more so.
Good point.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark and Dean. So moving on to page 19, this will also be consistent throughout the document. It shows the number of units of service, contracted and provided. Health has a number of unduplicated clients, contracted and provided. And you'll also see a breakdown of funding sources for the service and the amount of money expended versus allocated. And below that, you'll have demographics for that service category, gender, race, ethnicity, and age range. So these two pages is what you'll have for every service category, and they'll be two pages each only. In past years, some of these got very, very long, and I think unnecessarily so. So we tried to keep it tight and accessible. And looking at these two pages, it might seem a little abstract, but when you see it in working form a couple of pages down the way, I think it'll make more sense. But does anyone have any questions about this or any formatting ideas?
My apologies, folks. I was on the wrong page when he reviewed page 18. So this is what 18 looks like. There's that map he was talking about. And then this is what he just reviewed.
Yeah, you can see the general breakout of things. And like I said, if we scroll down a little bit further, I think it may make some more sense in working form rather than in formatting form, I guess you could say.
So I'm at mental health services to provide the example. And you'll see here, it's exactly as he described. It's all filled in there, the locations on the map, all four of those little red dots. And then
exactly, you see the definition of the services, the description for the four programs and how they differentiate. All that, and then like the following page, on page 25, you'll have the budget, the services, the clients, the demographics for that service category. You should note that we don't report out on trans male clients because, if I remember right, last year we had one. Yep. So reporting out on that would risk presenting private healthcare information and services that person is personally accessing. So we just left them off.
Yep.
So those two pages that you see under mental health, that's how it's going to be consistently throughout the document. And does anybody have any questions at this point?
John, I'm also showing them the units of service page that appears right afterwards so they can have a snapshot of what that looks like in advance about just really showing all of the different compare and contrast, I guess, between service categories. And I'm not seeing any questions or any hands raised.
Can I ask a quick question, and it might be a little bit of out of bounds, but it's in regards to what you just said, and I think a little bit later on, there'll probably be a discussion around sort of untapped populations, and I can't help but think, like, when you talked about having one trans male person who is using the service and thus, like, including them would essentially sort of out them. Is that also a concern that we'll be encouraged to look at in terms of transgender services, particularly in that service category later on?
I don't understand your question.
Sorry, I was just thinking, like, if there was just one person, there might be others, and would that be considered an under-serviced population that would need additional supports?
Eric, I think that the thing that's different about this particular thing is that it's not just all HIV positive people, it's only HIV positive people who can access Ryan White funded services. So gotcha. While there are, I'm sure is more than one trans male who became HIV positive in the last year, there might only be one trans male who is also accessing these services. So I hear what you're saying, but it might also just be a product of other factors, like maybe all those other guys have private insurance or, you know, but it's not the same as like Epidata where they're trying to look like across multiple systems at just like big groups of people.
Thank you for that. And thanks for you guys for forbearance and me like figuring out what's going on.
No, they're really good questions. All the questions. Yeah, ask good questions. Those are all good questions. Thank you for that. I started to respond, but was muted. I'm really bad about doing that, but Jackson covered what I was going to add, is that there's an eligibility requirement for clients to be served around income and residency and other things. So John got cut off, and he's calling me on my cell, so I'm going to shut up and mute and come back in just a second. Hold on.
I guess while we wait to see if there's any more things that he wanted to add, was there anything about this presentation that folks had any thoughts on?
I think that's amazingly good.
I love it.
How the summary sheets used to look, they were hideous in comparison.
It's so much easier to process with pie charts. I mean, that sounds like I'm stating the obvious, but it really is.
And the color coding, actually, the color coding, it helps out a lot.
I think the one thing missing, it's right there. What am I talking about? I was going to say, centers of excellence, I was going to say that there used to be a description of each of the center of excellence, but it's listed right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 of them, right? Oh, no, 1 was removed. Okay. If you recall, I think the Native American Health Center was eliminated. So we went from 7 to 6. Is that correct, Dean?
Yes, that is correct. I'm holding up my cell phone so John can hear. He got bounced out and was unable to get back in. So if you have other questions, we're both here to help answer that. But yeah, the Native American Health Center, they actually changed the way they were providing services. Not to go into a whole lot of specific detail, but they weren't meeting the criteria of the solicitation of those services, actually about having a medical provider with HIV expertise. So we were working with them to correct for that and gave them 2 options, one being working to refer out clients as they need to be or bring in someone, or to let go of those services and transition clients as need be, and they pick the latter option there. So
John, it doesn't look like there's any more questions. Is there anything else you wanted to add about your presentation?
No, not particularly. Just let me know if you have any ideas as you look through this. If there's anything you want me to add or anything I can edit or anything I can clarify, just let me know. I'm happy to do whatever.
Sounds good. I'll make sure to forward your presentation to the group members who were here today. And if you all just want to respond to me, I can collate any responses and send on to John and Dean.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you on the 28th.
All right. See you then.
Thanks, everyone. Right. Bye.
So is there anything else in the agenda?
No. We can always discuss more type topics. Chuck, I know you love that.
No, I don't like that. No. So the next meeting is what, October 13th?
Sounds right.
And so we'll see you again then at 3 o'clock.
Bye, everyone. Good rest of your week.
Thanks, everybody.
Stay stylish, Mark.
Oh, don't worry. 100.
Ciao.